I am Shruti and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. Hello everyone, I hope you all are having a great day. Before we begin with today's podcast, there's a quick trigger warning that I would like to raise. In today's episode of Hear Me Out, we are going to talk about mental health issues, childhood abuse, sexual violence, trauma, pain, suffering, and all such issues. It is advisable that you refrain from hearing this podcast further if the mention of any of this discomforts you. An exploded watermelon spits and bubbles on your kitchen counter. The red reminds you of poppies, a riot in a sea of green, sindoor dripping from women's foreheads like spoils of war, like bounty hunters laughing. Remember, red is the color of love, of marriage, of prosperity. And then think of guts exploding in fields. Soldiers in school corridors in Peshawar, crumbling walls as news channels count TRPs. Welcome to Business of Brands podcast by Chi Cafe. In this episode of Hear Me Out, we have with us the poet, the writer, the activist, Jhilmil Breckenridge. Jhilmil is the co-founder of a non-profit trust, Bhor Foundation in New Delhi. She's a passionate social worker whose trust is doing amazing work in the fields of domestic violence, women's rights activism, disability inclusion, and mental health awareness. Her contribution to initiate a dialogue around the said issues is just remarkable. She is a fearless writer and a sincere artist. When I think of red, I think of Jhilmil. Welcome to this podcast, Jhilmil. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Shruti and G Cafe, for being interested in my story and in the work of my NGO, Bhor Foundation.
I'm really glad you're here, Jhilmil. Diving straight into the questions, tell us your story, Jhilmil. How was your childhood and adolescence like? And how has life been in general? And also, how did Bhor Foundation come up?
My story is very simple. I'm just a girl who grew up in UP. Fairly pleasant, in a way, upbringing. But I witnessed a lot of trauma early on. From my own childhood of being I didn't realize this till very late. But I had parental emotional neglect, which of course leads to being introverted and a big bookworm, which is possibly why I'm a writer and a poet. And at the age of 17, a very good friend of mine got gang raped and she came to me for help. And I remember at 17, nobody helped, you know, not my parents. She was scared to go home. And I remember taking her to the police station, to hospital, to various women's shelters in Delhi. And that is how I got involved in gender-based violence. And I started volunteering with this one NGO in Defence Colony, just near Nirula's, where I used to sometimes go in my carefree college days when I was studying in Hindu college. And, you know, just above that Nirula's on the flyover, there was this NGO called Saheli. And I remember being 17, and listening to the stories, older women, some women my age, barely girls, barely children, and what all they went through. And I remember being introduced to activism. There was this elderly American woman based in India. I think she may have been married to an Indian. I don't know her story. But I remember Elizabeth really gave me a lot of insight into activism, into how we can help. Even if it is simply by listening or making someone a cup of tea and then they go back to their abusive homes, because some women, it takes time to get strong and some women can never leave because of financial instability. So really, it has been about 30 plus years of experience in gender-based violence and mental health and various other traumas. And Bhor Foundation came up 6 years ago when I teamed up with my co-founder, Namrita Kathet. Namrita grew up as a caregiver to her mother with schizophrenia, and I had issues with mental health distress through my abusive marriage. We put the two stories together and we came up with Ghore Foundation.
It's really been quite a journey, I must say, Chirmal. Would you like to share any memories that significantly stand out to you from all these years at Ghore?
There can be so many anecdotes or significant memories. I think some of the most significant memories are really speaking with people who have had a very tough life and who are still shining. You know, this young woman in her 30s, I was listening to her story over a drink about 2 months ago. Her name is Radha and she lives in Delhi. And she told me how she is from Jharkhand and she came from a family where they had food, etc. But she married into this family where money was an issue. And the starving girl at 16, she was so hungry that she ran away with her small 3 or 4 year old baby and a baby in her belly. She worked as a laborer. She worked as this and that. And then she supplied maids from house help or maids from Jharkhand to people. And now, you know, she's married to a lawyer. She has her own house. She has a car. She has these daughters are grown up. She has from the second marriage, she has a small son, 3 years old. And I think it's just stories like this of human resilience, which inspire me so much. Like, I come from privilege and I feel I'm very well educated. I speak English in a certain way, which tells my class and all of this. To me, it doesn't matter because I have it. But to someone else who meets me, it sets me apart. I could be, you know, they know my social standing. They know where I am in society. And for me to have struggled and failed and risen again is not as big of a deal, I feel. Or maybe it is. Maybe we take it for granted that, oh, you know, she has money, she has education, of course, she'll be fine. I know so many women who have had worse than me, or, you know, painful things happen and they weren't fine. But people like Radha, who come from economically marginalized state, and how she then worked as a common laborer, you know, it inspires me. I really feel proud to know her as a friend. And she took me to her house and she said, ma'am, we are going to drink whiskey, daru piyenge aaj. And I think that was one of my highlights, really, in the last few years. I really had a lot of fun with that.
How touching is that? Chirmal, it's quite evident that you have seen a lot and you're wearing multiple hats. How do you manage time? What does a day in your life look like?
A day in my life, I think, is exhausting. I keep laughing that I'm exhausted at being Chirmal and why do I choose to do so much? But I really think that it is up to each of us to change the world. And I do believe that if we have a vision and a mission, and my mission is to change the ruptured structures of the world we live in, be it the patriarchy, be it paternalism. Paternalism is a concept where doctors know best, elders know best. And in India, the concept of family is so strong that we believe our elders always know best. And, you know, we are taught as girl children, respect your elders. When elders come, you have to be quiet and let them speak, etc. But I think often the voice of the girl child is therefore taken away, and the voice of a child is taken away, be it girl or boy. If you're always told that your parents will choose your career, your husband, you know, etc., etc. So my day is literally at the moment, I'm recovering from a very bad surgery and I have a lot of referral pain. So I wake up with pain, say at 5 a.m. And sometimes my baby, I just adopted a baby from a marginalized background from Jharkhand last year. She's now almost 9 months old. Sometimes she wakes up at the same time. And sometimes if I'm lucky, I'm able to make a quick cup of tea. And then the dogs need me. I have two dogs, a German Shepherd puppy, 10 months old, and a Pit Bull puppy. And the whole morning seems to go in this this cleaning and cooking their food and baby's food, and I may try and shower. I'm obsessed with bathing and I love the water on me, which is why I like being in Goa. And emails and various to-dos keep running through my mind, but at the moment I'm not able to get to it because I'm recovering from a very bad fracture, chronic pain, and we are also restructuring whole foundation. We had some issues last year with some just some unpleasantness, so we are just trying to take a step back and really observe what the country needs and how best I can serve the needs of the underprivileged, marginalized people who suffer from mental health distress or childhood trauma or anything like that which affects the mind. So I'm taking a break. However, that said, I'm always writing. I'm always performing. I just performed in Goa last week. I read some poems from my book, Reclamation Song. I'm writing a memoir. And by the time I crash into bed at 10, I am spent and I fall asleep. That's my day.
I am Shruti and you're listening to Business of Brands podcast. That is beautiful, Tilmil. There's so much love around, and the commendable part is that you have earned it all. You have created the space for yourself. Jilmil, I also understand that being self-employed is like managing an entire world of one's own. It has its own perks, but it also comes with a whole lot of challenges as well. Would you like to give us some insights to both these binaries?
So the perks and challenges of being self-employed are many. The perks are, like, for example, now I don't feel very well. I'm able to just, because I'm self-employed and I have some financial stability, not a lot, I don't live with luxury, but being a poet, you get used to being in conservation mode. You never know, in feast or famine mode. I mean, I can spend a lot if I have money, if I'm earning well. But at the moment, because I know I'm not earning and I have this fixed income which comes to me on the first every month, I know that I have to conserve. So at the moment, I'm just doing this whole survival, trying to put my health and fitness first. I've just started a YouTube channel, my yoga channel, where I speak about yoga for older women. I speak about the menopause, because like mental health, menopause is another taboo subject that no one talks about. And women are so obsessed with looking young, and women are often marginalized, sidetracked, you know, once you start getting towards 45, 50, because now you can't have babies and now you are no longer relevant or a creator of children. And in this capitalist world, women are valued for their youth, for their ability to raise a family, for their ability to bear children. And often a woman who is barren or at menopause is considered, you know, on the shelf, over her prime. All these sort of terms are used as if we are a piece of fruit. You know, we talk about a mango being ab ye purana ho gaya hai, you know, it's too old to be eaten, we chuck it. And women on the shelf, past their prime, what does that even mean? I don't really hear of men being talked about in this fashion. So, I just think the perks and challenges are that, I don't know, I got sidetracked, but I think these are all important and relevant. Challenges, of course, are many. I have to juggle being peon, a secretary, a writer, accountant. You know, when you are self-employed, you are juggling a lot of balls, which you otherwise take for granted in a large office setup where there's an HR manager, a chartered accountant, a marketing person. When you are responsible for your own money and you know you have three small children who need you, one being the baby and two being my dogs, you know that you are responsible, you are the only adult, so you have to stay well. And even if you have shoulder pain, they don't know it. So stay healthy, stay fit, and provide. That's my job. And those are the perks and challenges.
Jilmil, you have had such a rich experience in your life, and from everything that you have learned over all these years, what would you like to say to people who wish to take the less traveled road? What would be your message for people who would also like to become activists and contribute to the society in different ways?
I think my final words for your audience who may be looking for an opportunity in working as an activist or as a writer, these are the two hats that I balance. Find your passion. You cannot come into the space of activism or wanting to change the world if you don't have experience or a reason. You can't come into this to make money. There is no money to be made. I mean, there may be eventually a salary or a stipend or, whatever. But find your passion. If you care about the welfare of street dogs, choose NGOs or choose work in that space and build yourself up from the ground up. Don't have very ambitious expectations. If you want to be a writer, you read. There is no substitute for reading and trying out little prompts for writing. Because if you come into the writing profession and you haven't even read the books that there are available, the classics, the experimental fiction, memoir, poetry, whatever it is you want to do, academic writing. If you have not read enough of that, it shows. It shows to the person who is reading your work that they don't even know the basics, and why do I need to bother to read this? At the moment, I'm reading this amazing book by Catherine May. It's called Wintering. And Wintering is this amazing memoir stroke, slightly academic, informative writing about winter and how in everyone's life we have so many winters, and winters can be a period of sadness or something you're recovering from, a death of a loved one, some sickness. I think I am in a wintering phase with my fractured arm and the chronic pain, and reading this book at a time like this gives me the courage that it's okay. I'm not wasting my time if I'm lying down when the baby sleeps and I'm reading a chapter, maybe napping myself. I am taking care of my body because I am wintering at the moment. And it's a very beautiful phrase, wintering, just like a field is empty or fallow for some time and then we plant it. Then the soil is rich with nutrients and then the crop is better. So fertile and fallow, green and dry, all of these opposites. So normally I'm exuberant, bursting with life and always working. But this is my wintering. So I'm resting and I'm staying still, and soon I will bloom again. This is my advice to all of you. Self-care and choose your passion.
How calm and reassuring is that? Thank you so much, Jilmil, for sharing all the beautiful words and thoughts with us today.
Thank you so much again, Shruti and G Cafe, for this opportunity. I wish all of you power, success, health, magic, and love.
It's been so refreshing and liberating just to listen to you talk and discuss about all the matters that we must all collectively deliberate upon. So thank you so much once again, and congratulations on all the amazing work that you have been doing, and I'm sure you'll continue to do. I am your host, Shruti, and we were in conversation with Jilmil Breckenridge. Keep listening to the Business of Brands podcast by G Cafe.